Welcome to the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, and as always, I am joined by Dustin Wood. Dustin, how are we doing this week?
Oh, it's been a week, man. I feel like it's the third Monday in a row, so that tells you how the week's going. But I'm excited to jump in here, talk about some of these events, what we've been drinking, even if some of them are repeats because we're boring fucking people and we have the same beers in our refrigerator, so we need to drink them.
Yeah, you are not wrong. It's definitely been a cleaning out the beer fridge kind of week. Before we jump into the show, though, we want to let you know you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok. You can just find us there, Barrel Chat or Barrel Chat Podcast. We are also available now on YouTube if you would prefer to listen to the podcast through YouTube. If you do enjoy our show, please think about leaving us a rating on your preferred listening platform. And you can also join our Discord server, which is basically a giant chat room. To get an invite, you can send us a DM or email us at barrelchatpodcast@gmail.com, and we will shoot you over an invite for that. If you are new to the Friday 4-Pack, this show consists of four different topics: what we've been drinking, two news stories, and then a little bit about what's happening around the Indiana beer world over the next few months.
So, you know, Matt, I feel like I'm new to the Friday 4-Pack, and I also think that we missed a huge chance to do the Friday 4-Pack as just we buy a 4-Pack of beer and we drink that 4-Pack of beer.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That's actually not a bad idea. Like a 4-pack of just random stuff.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, like go to Total Wine 4-pack, Kroger 4-pack,
To be fair, you can change the 4-pack into whatever you want. Like, it's just four different topics. We can just say, hey, it's Friday, four different four beers pack. This week. Yeah.
So
and we decided to get weird with it. So first, let's talk about what we've been drinking. And obviously what we are drinking tonight as we record this episode. Dustin, what do you got on tap over there?
So right now I am drinking the New Glarus Raspberry Tart. That is, man, she's a beaut. First off, their labels on their bottles, that like cardboardy texture that they do with the shiny reflective printing, is just fantastic. I don't know why it's old school as all get out, which, as I said when we joined here today, I said, I feel like New Glarus just makes a beer style. They don't give a shit if it's trendy or not anymore. They're like, yep, still good, still making it. But this is a fantastic beer. It is tart as all get out. Still has some beer like characteristics to it. Has a lot of awesome flavor profiles of some tartness that then also hit with like your ale-y, like yeasty beer. I was telling Matt, I think it drinks a lot like the old school Leinenkugel / Summer Shandy type of thing back in the day. Back when everybody was making those like flavored wheat beers, for lack of better terms. It tastes a lot like that. But looking at Untappd, it looks like it's a 4.2 out of 5 on over 55,000 unique check-ins, which is pretty damn impressive. Overall, I'd say it's probably close to a 4.1 or a 4.2 if I were to Untappd rate it. So I think it's super solid. We can't get it here, which may feed into some of that rating scale. But 55,000 people most likely can't be wrong.
Now, it's been a while since I've had that particular beer, but I remember when I had it, it was really good. It was one of the beers that we had way back in the day that really kind of stood out in our "you can't fuck up a raspberry beer" yep. campaign.
They didn't.
It's a raspberry tart, and it's like just a base style thing.
Super simple beers. Matt's dog just walked in the door.
The joys of recording at home.
But I mean, I looked in the refrigerator and I had so many big beers and so many like stouts and crazy imperial fruited sours and stuff. And I was like, God, I need something that's not like insane. So I picked this up and was like, okay, I actually picked up New Glarus's, basically their imperial cow, a spotted cow beer, but put it down and was like, ah, raspberry tart it is. So great. This is one of like three beers I've had this week. The other, I drank another 5 foot freak from Big Lug. Again, fantastic. You can't fuck up a raspberry beer. So it's a raspberry something, maybe raspberry pineapple. Sorry, Big Lug. I can't remember and I didn't type it down, but great beer. Drink it, find it, enjoy it. The other that I had, recently, the other night, I cracked open Raised Grain Brewing's 7 year anniversary stout. They call it number 7, is matured in bourbon barrels. The decadent waves of chocolate, vanilla, and coffee are emphasized and enhanced by the oak and bourbon characters of the barrel of its former occupant. Which is a really, like, ominous way to say bourbon. But, overall, fantastic beer. Insane amount of roast, and an even more insane amount of, like, dried fruits. I think, raisins and dates, very, very raisin and date forward. That is a 4.25 on Untappd. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 4.19 on Untappd out of 5. That's just shy of 600 check-ins. So probably still lives up to that, I think. Overall, the beer poured crazy, was heavy, nice drinkability, but still, like, I could only drink a 16-ounce, and I barely finished that 16-ounce because, one, it's, like, probably 13%. It's not on the can, so I don't actually know what it was. So far, nice. That's what I've drank. How about you? Anything fun? Anything shitty? Anything great?
All right. Well, to keep in line with what I started last week in having an 11% beer, I pulled out of my beer fridge, which is just my regular fridge. I was allotted the very bottom, like, vegetable
shelf. The crispers.
Yeah. And in that, I had one of Foreign Locals' Blueberry Breakfast Dead Forever beers left. This was an imperial pastry stout with blueberries, maple syrup, cinnamon, and coffee. 4.18 out of 156 check-ins. Or 120, well... So it's 128 ratings. So that makes me wonder, out of those 55,000 check-ins, how many of those were actual ratings?
But it's 49,591.
Yeah, it's still not bad. So this beer, I've had this now since March, I think it was, late March. And it's just been sitting in my fridge. Tastes absolutely perfect. Like, so much carbonation. I showed you before just the beautiful creamy head on this beer. Tons of carbonation, tons of flavor. It is big, it's bold, it's beautiful. It's that pastry stout that you really want, because it's thick. It's sweet, but it's not cloyingly sweet, as you like to say.
Sticks on your teeth, Matt. It sticks on your teeth.
You still get some of that stout that... It's not as much. Like, it is a pretty sweet beer. I will say that. Like, if you're coming into it thinking you're going to get some of that, a lot of that stout flavor, I don't think you're going to get that out of this. There's a little chocolatey, some coffee, but man, it really just tastes like drinking blueberry pancakes. It's fantastic. It is great. When someone says a dessert beer, this is what I'm thinking of.
That's a dessert beer.
Not a goddamn smoothie sour. I'm thinking of an imperial pastry stout is a dessert beer. Like, this kind of reminds me of like a port.
Oh, yeah. God, I love ports. So,
yeah, absolutely. And ports are, you know, dessert wines, if you don't know, but they're like 10, 11, 12%.
If not dessert more.
Wines. Yeah. And they're thick and they are fantastic. So, pulled that one out. I'm sad that that one's now gone. I need to get up to Total Wine to see if I can find some more foreign local, since I've liked everything that I've had from them so far.
Fact.
The other things, this was basically a clearing out my beer fridge week. I didn't go anywhere, and I didn't go buy anything because I have so much beer still left. Because one of the problems is we buy beer for the show sometimes to do reviews, but it's like I buy a four-pack. Like the Googman bought a four-pack of their milk stout. We only drink one can together, since, you know, typically when we were doing those, it's four, you know, three or four in a day. Well, now I got three left over to drink. so that's what I drink. But at the same point, you know, I have to try and find something unique-ish to try and talk about on this show. Which is good, because then it forces me to go find at least one other thing. And so you had given me one of these Sun King Brewing Flying Cupcake beers
a while back.
And you would warn me that it was not very good. And so it kind of just sat in my fridge because I just didn't care enough to drink it. Like, if you say it's bad, I know it's not good.
Especially a bad white stout, dude.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, is I didn't realize it was a blonde oatmeal stout either until I pulled it out. And I was like, oh, this makes it even worse, man, because I love white stouts. So this is a 6.3% ABV, 10 IBUs, 3.57 on Untappd. It's a collaboration blonde oatmeal stout with the Flying Cupcake. And if for some odd reason you are listening to our show and you are outside of Indianapolis, the Flying Cupcake is a local cupcake shop that's been around for like a decade or more now.
Who makes amazing cupcakes. So
yeah,
you would think Sun King and the Flying Cupcake, great, great white stout.
So I think, all right, I'll kind of get in my review. So basically this is, they made it supposedly with yellow cupcakes filled with mixed berry compote and iced with white chocolate icing. So it tells me like they just made a whole bunch of cupcakes and threw those cupcakes in to whatever stage it is that you do all of that.
Depends on where you're. There's a lot of places you can do it, but
yeah. So that's how I take this, is that they literally made all these things and then just threw a bunch of them in there. I'm a huge fan of white stouts. And I will say that you do get a lot of that kind of white chocolate sweetness flavor from this beer. It did remind me a lot of Bigsby, which I think speaks to something. Like, whatever that base white stout beer that they brewed was actually really good. And
yeah,
they need to brew it again and just put it out by itself if they haven't done that already, because that was really, really good. But the problem I had with it was the berry really comes through, like, way too much. And so before I even read what this thing was, I remember telling the wife, you kind of taste like vanilla icing. Like it you kind of get that kind of vanilla icing sweetness. And then I saw that it was, you know, white chocolate icing, but it's still going to be pretty close to that. And so, you know, it hits everything that they tell you it's got in it, that they tell you exactly what it's going to be. So it's hard to say that they missed on anything, because technically they nailed that. I just don't think it really fit very well together. I think the mixed berry compote, whatever that was just too strong, way too strong, really overtook the entire thing. Because typically when you bite into a cupcake with anything like in the middle of it, you don't get that much of it.
No. Well, and
it's just like a donut.
The flavor of a like white cake or yellow cake, even, they're very similar, but like is very potent, and you would want that to be the main flavor, right? And then like the main idea of this, I think, would be to make it like a nice thick beer, because it's a cupcake with compote and icing. Like, and this was really thin, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I finished my can, and that saddens me, because I was very excited for the beer when I first saw it be released.
So I drank the whole thing, but it's not something that I would care to ever do it again. Like, if they came back, you know, next year and said, hey, we did this again, I would try it just to see. Like,
yeah,
to did see anything difference. Change? Yeah, because, I mean, you have to give them that. But I also think a 3.57 is very generous
overall. Yeah.
Because I just... Yep. It's not that good. Like, it's not bad.
I gave away two
off flavors.
No, I gave away three of the four that I had. So, if that tells you, like, my thoughts on the beer. Like, I love Sun King, and I love Flying Cupcake, so it's really strange to me that it didn't hit. But, potentially, I'm just wrong, and you're wrong, and it's a great beer. But I don't know that, as White Stout fans, we would have ever thought that a White Stout would be something I wouldn't even want to drink again.
I'd say at a 3.57, I don't think we're going to be viewed as wrong on this one. The other one I had, like I said, was at Goodman House, Winner's Jug Milk Stout, which you can go back. That was episode 20. We did the review on that one, and so I've been going through finishing those up. Got another Sun King, like a pumpkin spice beer that they had like over the fall. We got a bunch of random crap that other people in this house have bought and not drank. And so I'm trying to clear up space.
I don't know who else would buy in your house. Must be the daughter.
Yeah, clearly. It's hit that teenage age of everything pumpkin spice, and it's now getting into the
daddy, beer. Daddy, look what I found. It says pumpkin spice latte.
Oh God. No, that's not it's not independent brewing. Get it out of here. You can't have it. No, it's from Sun King. Okay, that one's good. You're allowed. If you bring that Elysian crap in here, we're gonna have problems.
Hey, maybe Elysian will buy itself back.
Right?
Yep. Like everybody else.
That keeps happening.
It is.
AB InBev sold one.
Yep.
So
I was talking to the people from Four Corners the other day. Yesterday? Shit, maybe today? I don't remember. But I was talking to the people from Four Corners, and they were talking about how they were just finally through the sales process and like getting all that stuff and getting out to their own and getting their like email addresses back and everything like that.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah, that's crazy.
Just a crazy experience to have to go to. And then following them, of course, is Funky Buddha that we talked about previously, where they're just now to the like beginning stages of technically selling. So they got to go through all the like hoops and hurdles. And when the Constellation owns their CRM stuff, they own their distribution programs. They own, so they're actually like having to start from scratch, basically.
Oof. That's probably, there's probably some okayness in that too.
There it is. But I mean, in that like weird flex time, you're either having double the bills or you're screwed. And you just don't have a system for that 2 or 3 weeks it takes to get ramped up on something else. True.
That is true.
So a little tangent, but it's always fun to see the like inner workings or at least some of the things that we don't think about. Like I would have never thought about it being a problem that they don't have their email addresses for like 2 or 3 days because they're in transition between ownerships.
Yeah, no, I never would have thought about anything even like that.
So weird side of things you don't think about as breweries being sold and bought.
Let's hop into our first topic, which is news. And speaking of AB and Bev,
dun, dun,
it
dun.
Has been, I guess, semi-announced. I don't really know how to take any of these kind of things, but Bud Light is apparently no longer the top-selling beer brand in the United States. And that is according to a post I saw from Newsweek, and it there were several others out there that had posted it, but the new one is Modelo Especial. Modelo Especial, which They supposedly topped $330 million in 4 weeks leading up to May 28th, whereas Bud Light was at $297 million in that time.
So now I know why Constellation's selling their damn craft beer.
And that was what I was going to bring up. They've gone all in on their Mexican beers, and they don't need any of the craft beer bringing them down, apparently.
I mean, 300...
So might as well divest it. And
333 million. That's not bad.
So this is actually... I'm not going to lie. This is fascinating to me. Usually when you see people boycott stuff, it lasts a couple weeks, and it never goes anywhere. And everybody always says, vote with your wallet and boycott with your wallet, you know, stuff like that. And again, it never goes anywhere because, yeah, you may stop buying it, but to get this many people to stop buying your beer over one simple thing, just all they did was give somebody beer. Like Dylan Mulvaney, they were not in any sort of like at real advertising. Like, they gave her a beer with her face on it and she posted it, and like that was it. And it has caused this much backlash to cause such a massive nosedive that they are no longer the number one selling beer in America.
22.8 is pretty impressive, like, percent.
Yeah, for a fall. And that's just in 4 weeks. I think it's been more than that, too, because this started in April.
Well,
but one. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, it doesn't help, or it does. It helps the fall of AB or of Bud Light, but there's so many people that are still circling the reels and the TikToks and the making fun of Bud Light and the people grabbing a can of Bud Light and going woohoo and then sitting it down and, you know, like, ooh, no, not today. And it's just
I guess let me ask you, do you see those?
I do, but I see them on our,
because I do not.
I see them on our Instagram feed. Because we get the targeted ads towards us because we've posted about it and we've talked about it and we've tagged AB and Bev and things. So we get those targeted ads.
Interesting. Because I have not seen, like, this blew up. It was April 1st when all this started. And this blew up because, like, Kid Rock and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then everybody for about a week, you know, made all their videos. But what is interesting is, like, I just don't feel like I hear about any of this. Like, I see the news articles.
It's not your circle.
And that is it. Yeah, but I don't see. I watch TikTok. But it's what I do. I watch the reels through Instagram, and I don't see anybody doing any of this stuff that's like new. So it's interesting. Like, maybe I'm just not in their algorithm, which would obviously make sense because I'm not gonna fall into that algorithm.
Yeah,
but. It is kind of crazy. Like, is there just this giant echo chamber that we're not seeing that is still perpetuating all this? And more people are jumping into the boycott of Bud Light and, like, literally not buying their stuff because they really shot themselves in the foot. One, when they did this, they lost their, you know, let's call them the conservative side or whatever they're called.
Yeah, then they screwed themselves.
But then they went and they lost all of us on the other side by completely backtracking. They fired all the people involved in the marketing aspect of it. And then they basically put out an apology. And it was just like, so all these people who were like, we're going to stock Bud Light are like, all right, you're getting unstocked. Not doing that again. Like, I don't think a lot of people talk too much about that. Like, most of it is geared towards the crazy conservative people who only care because it was a transgender
not my beer
a part of it. Yeah, whereas they're not talking about the fact that the LGBTQ plus community, like, kind of lifted Bud Light up and AB InBev up when they did this, and then once they backtracked, they're like, Fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah, well, you can't, you can't choose both sides of the same coin if you're going to go
I was going to say, and they didn't choose any side of the coin. They pissed off both sides. And
yeah, but you can't, this is the repercussion. Right? The repercussion. You can't flip a coin and hope that it lands on the damn edge. So you're like, yep, right in the middle, baby. If you're going to do this in this world, you have to go whole hog one direction. And I think they probably would have got the people who stopped drinking Bud Light because Kid Rock shot up stuff and because, you know, transvestites and stuff like that. They would have got those people back because they're creatures of habit, like bad creatures of habit where they just drink. Because
eventually this would have blew over and it would have been done. Like,
but now
you didn't need to say anything, but then you apologize, you fire people. Yep. And we're still in the news. Like, every time someone opens Fox News, there's probably a report on this.
Yep.
And it's keeping it in that consciousness. And so this was actually one of the things that I found interesting. In this news article, they mentioned that a former Anheuser-Busch executive, Anson Frericks, last month suggested that the weekly release of Bud Light sales data by trade publications was encouraging those calling for the boycott of the beer. And he said in an op-ed for Fox News, shocker, that boycotters were witnessing their success in real time. 100% a fucking fact.
Yep.
I had never thought about that. But yeah, you see, like, we never see beer, like, sales data for anything outside of, like, who's the best-selling beer. Oh, it's Bud Light. Shocker. But, like, this is, like, headline news all the time, and from big publications. It's not just a Fox News thing. This is, you know, Newsweek and other big time like newspapers are running with this, and it's just giving them that gratification of, hey, we did it, let's keep doing it.
It's so weird that this one stuck more than like the Coca-Cola over that commercial with all the people singing America the Beautiful or whatever it was that were of different ethnicities and colors. But that one, I think, only got the backlash because, one, people were dumb and thought it was the national anthem. And they're like, I don't want them immigrants singing the national anthem. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't think that's the national anthem. But it's just weird to me that what takes traction and what they focus on. So, like, why did Fox News jump onto this hard instead of some of the other things?
Because this is literally the biggest topic in the country right now is transgender people.
That's true. So it just hit at the right time.
Yeah. Like, this is what anybody and everybody is talking about in that Fox News realm of life is that. They're not talking about all the other fun stuff that's happening to all their favorite people. They'd rather doom and gloom and get you to fight the good fight.
Yeah.
But and obviously, you know, with Anheuser-Busch flip-flopping, that tanked them, whereas like Coke didn't flip-flop. Like,
if they were like, we're sticking behind this and we don't care. Yeah. Like, thank you. Hope you boycott. Hope you don't want Sprite or I think my favorite thing that has come out of this at all, I saw, I don't remember, it was some person that's big in Fox News world. They had posted, Coors Light's doing the same thing as Miller or Bud Light. Looks like I'm sticking to Miller. I'm like, wait, I'm so confused. How do you know? How do you not know that Miller owns Coors? Like, how is that not how is that not a thing?
Literally called Miller Coors, I think.
Yeah.
If that's still the name.
It is last I looked, but how do you not know that? And then what do you mean going down that road? Literally, look at any beer company in the god darn country. They're going to have a Pride logo. They're going to have a Pride can.
It's literally the same as Kevin Sorbo going, that's fine. I was always a Bush fan anyways.
Same thing. Yep.
What do you think what do you think Bush is named after?
Yep. Anheuser-Busch.
Do you think it's named after NASCARs that were sponsored by Anheuser-Busch? Like, what is wrong with you?
Probably do.
Like, I know you're a brain dead idiot, but holy crap. Like, that's a special kind of stupid.
You mean Skittles is a candy and not just a NASCAR?
Oh my God.
But just so anyway, enough of the random bullshit hour.
So, topic number three here, another news story. This one's kind of sad. I mean, the other one is sad in a way that transgender people are being discriminated against, and nobody likes that, and fuck everyone who does that, including Anheuser-Busch. Preach. This one, Maryland, the state, has now lost three big-time breweries, and this news article I found was that Dewclaw Brewing, which you have likely seen in our state of Indiana, they are the ones who make the Sweet Baby Jesus peanut butter stout, peanut butter porter.
I think it's a peanut butter porter. Could be a
something
stout,
like that.
They make a Java version, and they make a
like
a bunch of other versions of it.
We've got it here for at least 4 or 5 years now, because it was before COVID. I know that, so we've had it here a while. They have been acquired by River Horse Brewing Company, which is based in New Jersey. And all of their production is moving to New Jersey.
Who the hell is River Horse Brewing Company?
Exactly. But what's crazy is Dewclaw's been around since 96. So we've now seen...
And that's a long time.
Yeah. So it's, you know, what is it, 30, going on 30 years. And you up and... I get... up and selling and getting out of the game, especially, you know, growth seems to be very hard right now, especially that. Like when you start to think about it, how does a place like Sun King really grow?
Sun King's not in that big.
And they're not as old. Yeah, but I mean, like, in the state of Indiana.
They grow in the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
Like, they grow outside of the state of Indiana, but I think they're going to hit the wall that every other regional craft brewery hits, not like regional small, like regional big, like the Victories and the Funky Buddhas and the people that are big, like Dewclaw's pretty much everywhere. And it's one of those places that you expect to see around, but it's so hard to get shelf space now.
Yeah. And I will say, I had a couple other beers, and they were okay.
Yeah, I mean...
okay. Like, Sweet Baby Jesus is just okay. The Java one's just okay. I had that weird poop emoji.
Yep, the sour. Yep.
That was, like, just okay. So it's like, you get to this point where, like, all right, your beer's kind of just okay, but they got bought out. But this comes on the heels of... one that a lot of people I think have heard of was Flying Dog Brewery. They're a really old brewery.
Blueberry beer, right?
I think so.
It's like with the flying animal that has blueberry smashes all over the can.
Yeah, they were one of the beers. They were one of the breweries that I had when I first got into drinking craft beer, because they were everywhere.
Yep.
It was super easy to find them. They got bought out earlier, actually a few weeks ago, May 22nd. They were bought out by a brewery that operates out of Utica, New York, called FX Matt Brewing, which is a wild name for a brewing company. But then I started digging into that. That place, FX Matt Brewing Company, they've been around since 1888.
What?
Right?
Who? FX Matt Brewing
Company? Yeah. They have a different name. It's like Salsica or something like that. But FX Matt was literally the name of the guy who started the company. His first name was FX, and the last name is Matt, which I've never seen Matt as a last name before. But everyone in their family has a last name of Matt. Never trust somebody with two first names, which is probably why he went by FX, because what the fuck is that? What kind of first name is FX?
Saranac?
Saranac? Yeah, it's some weird...
Saranac.
Weird there name.
We Saranac. I've never seen this beer before. Mm-mm.
I haven't seen any
of
it.
But they own McKenzie's Hard Cider. I have seen McKenzie's Hard Cider.
So I just thought this was kind of interesting, because Flying Dog's been around for a really long time. So you've lost two big craft breweries in your state, because everything is... getting moved to New York for all of their production. They were already contract brewing some of Flying Dog's beers, which I think is what inevitably led to this purchase. But then on top of that, back in April, Guinness closed down, announced that they were closing down their brewery that's in Baltimore, that Open Gate Brewery. And I think that came this month, I think, is when it either happened or is happening. So it's just like, in a span of 3 months, you've lost three pretty big breweries to your state. And that includes like all the people who work there and all the money it brought in for the cities and stuff that they were in. Like, that's brutal. Like, I feel like that would be like if Sun King and Three Floyds, and who would be like the third? It's like when I try and think of like,
it depends on what you mean.
Oh, I
mean,
Upland.
Could be, yeah, but it depends on what you mean as far as like amount of storefronts. If like Quaffon went out, that'd be ridiculous. Like Big Woods.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. But it's just like if any of those three like were just randomly bought out and it was just like, all right, we're moving everything elsewhere. Because I can't, it's hard to imagine that Duclaw and Flying Dog had only one spot. That they didn't have tap rooms and stuff like that. I didn't look that up because I didn't think about it until we literally just started talking about it. But
so, okay, I have a strange question about this situation. If this Saranac company has been in business for 130-ish years.
Well, I think it's
the brewing
company.
Yeah, but why in the hell have we never seen any of it here? Like, do they not?
I think it's similar to, it's probably similar to what's the Yingling, we didn't see Yingling until years ago. It says it's the fourth largest running family-owned brewery in the United States, which I assume like I guess I don't know if they consider Anheuser any of that. I don't want to type on my clickety-clack keyboard that gets picked up.
You said fourth largest brewery in the world or longest standing?
Fourth largest family-owned brewery. Because I would imagine Anheuser-Busch is number one, but I don't know if that's owned by the family anymore.
Yingling is the longest standing one, 190 years.
Oh, fuck, I didn't realize it'd been around. Wow.
I can only find things like oldest breweries in the country. But Jacob Leinenkugel's Brewing Company, 1867. Frankenmuth Brewing is 1862. August Schnell Brewing Company is 1860. Stephen Point.
These are ones that are still running?
I think so. According to this, Stephen Point, 1857. Miller Brewing, 1855. Anheuser-Busch, 1852. Minhas Craft is, what do they make? They make Boxer. Yeah, Boxer. 1845. That's still around. Pabst, 1844. And Yingling, 1829.
That's wild.
That's a long time, dude. That's cool.
Yeah, could you, like, something being around since the 1800s is kind of wild.
The only one I've really never heard of is this Frankenmuth out of Michigan. Currently produce 36 different craft beers, including a Hefeweizen, a Pilsner, American Blonde, and a Red Eye Ale.
Interesting.
I'd be interested in trying some of the things from places like that.
So for a delightful side note, I did find this website that lists the oldest brewery in every state. And for Indiana, it is, well, can you guess?
It's probably the one in Broad Ripple.
Yep, Broad Ripple Brew Pub. Started in 1990.
Yep.
The only thing that's fucked up here is they say what to order, and it says IPA. That's incorrect. Get the ESP.
Yep.
The fuck are you doing? You get they are known for the ESP. What is this IPA nonsense? Get out of here. You go there, you get the ESP.
Wow. I feel like Bruges was open way before that. For some reason, Bruges just seems like it was really, really old, but it was only 2005.
Yeah, that's not, in the context, that's not, they got a 15-year head start.
Yep. It's just weird. I've always thought of them as really old. Now they're closed.
They're that old.
Or they don't brew anymore, I don't think.
I think they're just closed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They don't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
No more triple to repo that tastes like feet.
And to round out this show, we have our section called Around Indiana, where we just kind of talk about some of the events or beer releases that we have found, mostly through Instagram. So if you have something that you would like for us to bring up on this show, just let us know. We'll put it on here. We'll put it on our calendar and stuff. First off, we have the Guggenheim House 4th Anniversary, which is on June 17th. Then we have Beer Brewery's 45th Anniversary Parking Lot Party for Q95. So this is not Beer Brewery's 45th anniversary. They've not been around that long. Q95 is a radio station here in Indiana, famously known for the Bob and Tom Show, which I did see that Bob Kavoyan today announced he has cancer. So good luck to him. But this is going to take place on Saturday, June 24th from 3 to 10. And they're going to do a special beer release, Brew 95, an American Pilsner. I like that name. That's a good name.
That's a great name.
Brew 95 with Q95. Like, I like the play on that. The one that I am most pissed about not being able to go to is Foreign Local. They are doing their first anniversary party also on June 24th called Burn the Barrel.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I saw them comment on our tag us in something for that.
Yep. So not too pleased that I can't go to that, but
there's another one on June 17th that you, or no, is that the 21st? You'll be gone for this one too. But there's one that I looked at, the Brown County Blues Brews and Barbecue Festival.
Oh, I could go for some barbecue. But if that, you say that's on the 21st or 24th?
The 17th.
Oh, 17th.
Gotcha. You're gone either way.
Yes. Yeah, the two Saturdays that I am in South Carolina or driving home. Definitely would go out to Foreign Local if I was here. Ash and Elm celebrating their 7th anniversary doing a rooftop party. That's on July 7th. That's pretty cool.
Great.
I kind of want to go to that one. I want to see if I can maybe finagle a way to go to that.
You said July 7th?
Yeah.
I would totally get behind that. I actually commented today, and another great beer name is the Boysen Blueberry from them. That just good. Released because it's for Indy 11. And it's their tag is like Boysen Blue is their like chant that they sing at the stadium. So now they have Boysen Blueberry. I was like, that is fantastic.
Nice. That is pretty good. I will say I love Ash and Elm. It's crazy. We were kind of talking about this before we recorded, but it's crazy. It's been 7 years. I still remember going and interviewing the owners for Indiana On Tap. It's just crazy that it's been 7 years since, not only since I wrote for that company, but since they opened. And, you know, they had that little place on.
I like the pause.
Yeah. You know, they had that little shop on Washington and didn't fit a ton of people. And
although I will point out that their favorites, both of the owners' favorite cider they make is Del Camino.
That's my wife's favorite too. Yeah. I don't like that one because there's spiciness in it, I believe. There's something
that's
about
pineapple.
That one I didn't. Yeah, but there's something else in it that maybe I do like that one.
I think you did Del Camino. You probably did not like Agave Habanero.
No, I'd probably like that. I don't mind habanero. For some reason, I thought Del Camino was one that I didn't care for because of some kind of spiciness to it. But either way, they make such great stuff. And their can art is so good.
It's poppy. I love it. It's because it's very poppy. It's fresh.
Well, it's like they got their like base style that they do, but then they have a freelance artist, it looks like, who makes like really cool, like that Del Camino one.
Yep.
Which, you know, pops. And that's good. That is really good artwork.
I mean, even their building is cool.
Out of that old Ford plant and stuff.
I will say their naming is tip top. Ooh, they changed the Del Camino can. So they have two versions.
Doesn't it got like a
It has a pineapple on it now with like a ball in the background.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
The old one is like a yellow can with Dell really big and it's all typography. I like the typography one, but the design nerd in me. But they do great beer name, or I guess cider names. My favorite, one of my favorite ones releases in June. It's the cider of the month for June, and it's all the rainbow colors and stuff, but it's Purple Gaze, G-A-Y-Z, nice. Instead of Haze.
I will say Fleeting Youth is my favorite cider they make.
Yeah, I think Fleeting Youth's great. If I was to choose one, I could get it all the time.
Technically you can get Fleeting Youth basically now all the time, I think, because I see it on store shelves. So unless that's like a random
They made I think it's Del Camino, and that's now all the time. It wasn't for a while, but it just
It was
because we were at the release party.
It was a cider of the month.
Yep, we went to the release party.
Started all that. Yeah,
it was great. But applauds to them, man. I think they make some great ciders. They're great people. They're creative, and they do a lot in the community, it seems like. So they're trying to ramp up that community a little bit too.
I haven't had any of their new food, so yeah. I can't speak to that.
I did not enjoy it when we went, but it was like day two of that building being open, so it probably kinks and stuff. Before we sign out, I was scrolling through interesting events that may be happening around Indiana in beer relations, and I stopped and it said Books and Beer, and I was like, what? Wait, what? Books and Brews is putting on an event? No, Books and Beer, put on by Goshen Brewing Company, June 9th, so tomorrow, 7 to 8:30. But they used a very similar font to Books and Brews, and a layout of their like stuff, and Goshen's logo has that like hop in it that Books and Brews uses in some of their stuff. It looks kind of like an amp. So I was like, wait a minute. Oh, nope. Goshen. Good job, Goshen. using that brand recognition that Books and Brews built for years and then shot it in the foot.
Last one on this list here is the Pax Verum third annual Way Out Beer Fest, which is taking place on August 19th. That one sounds kind of cool. Just the idea of like Way Out beers. I'm intrigued to go to that just to see what kind of what is a Way Out beer?
Yeah, is it? So, is it? Are they trying to be that beer festival that they made the Mace beer for and stuff like that?
Yeah,
like the crazy beer festival, or are they trying to be like barrel aged stuff? So I don't really know where they're gonna land.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I got that day available so I can go, because I think that would be
probably in the notes. When is it?
Pretty fun. August 19th.
Shit, that's a long time out, man.
Yeah, I haven't looked at my calendar yet to see if I got that. I got a bunch of concerts to go to in April, August. So
me too.
Just don't know yet.
I may have blew my beer festival budget to go to the Moore Beer Fest, but I'm not mad about that. I'm super, super fucking bringing some great beers back, and also just enjoying some of these crazy breweries that you would never get access to, all their stuff. So it's like, yep, buying tickets, driving to Chicago.
Yeah, might as well. Well, that is going to do it for the show. If you haven't listened to this week's beer review, we did Daybreak, which was a coffee vanilla cream ale from Wolf Ridge Brewing out of Columbus, Ohio. And then next week, we got the one that really surprised us. I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
And that is Highland Brewing's Gaelic Ale. So definitely tune in for that.
We had two that surprised us.
No, yeah, that's true. Because the one after that, the Sisu Stout,
yeah,
was actually really surprisingly good.
Yeah, like,
spoiler alert.
It was good. Spoiler alert, it's owned by Bell's, so it doesn't surprise me that it's good, but... Or it was founded by Bell's, so it's still really good. It's definitely worth a grab if you're in that area. So listen to it.
Way better than anticipated.
So definitely
look out for those two. And then if everything goes right, we'll have another interview here coming up towards the end of the month, early July. May even be able to discuss a potential brew day.
Potential barrel chat beer? What?
Yeah. stuff like that. So just be on the lookout for some cool stuff that we get to do, I guess. Like, I don't know. But, you know, if you think our choices in beer are pretty good, then maybe the stuff that we've discussed in a potential collab brew will come to fruition, and everybody else will get to enjoy the crazy shit that we also enjoy.
Let's just say you can't fuck up a raspberry beer.
That is true. That is true. And we're not going to be the first ones to do it.
Nope. And then we're going to make shirts.
So until next week, cheers.
Cheers, guys.